Good Friday. Thanks for being with us into the great sports weekend. I'm Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com. White Mountain Radio. Terrific to be on White Mountain Radio. I heard last night about 3 inches of snow fell on the White Mountains. Why not? We like that. On a Friday, Jake Plummer, all things around the Fiesta Bowl. The Fiesta Bowl and Jake Plummer, a winning combination. Every week we talk college football with Jake Plummer. Now that the bowl games are set, what was it like for Jake Plummer when he came out for his Rose Bowl? And much more with Jake Plummer, all things NFL or around the Fiesta Bowl, a little bit around the NFL with Jake Plummer. That comes up in a couple of minutes. Jimmy Vaccaro, SouthPointSports.com, South Point Casino, the wisest of the wise guys in Vegas. The BCS title game is set. What is the early money showing on Auburn, Florida State, all the NFL games this weekend to get you ready? We'll go to Vegas. Goody at the Movies, Bill Goodykunz, chief film critic for Gannett, USA Today, and AZ Central. I have no desire to see The Hobbit. I've not been... Jared is in today for Eric. Eric's off. You've known me now for a couple of years. Do I strike you as a Hobbit guy?
No, not even the slightest.
Are you a Hobbit guy?
Absolutely not. Probably less of a Hobbit guy than you are.
Wow, that is saying something because I really don't care. And yet, it's going to set all sorts of... If any of you are Hobbit people, I don't get it. Never have gotten it. I don't know if it's being 6'8". Hobbits aren't 6'8", right? So, you know.
What have you heard about this Out of the Furnace movie with Christian Bale? I'm about to see that tonight.
Bill talked about it last week. I think it was one of those great cast, but, you know. I thought you had a dance lesson tonight.
We're doing both.
Oh, okay. Yeah, just making sure. Yeah. Jared's one. He brings the well-roundedness, and I don't mean in the donuts in the back break room or anything. He just brings he makes us more complete.
I'm so versatile. Yeah, I'm something like that. We know whatever they tell us. You know, I'm quite the dancer. So
are you?
Yeah. So I am taking my skills.
Well, you are the only one of the team that's been on Family Feud.
I am. That is a fact.
And you're the only one that's been on Family Feud that has won.
Yep. That is also a fact.
And you, what was the word you used on Family Feud to answer a question?
Which one? I did say butt crack on national television.
On national television. That's something to be very proud of.
Yep, and funny, a show a couple episodes after ours, butt crack was an answer. It wasn't an answer when
for
I did
Feud.
It.
Family Feud.
But it was up there on Family Feud. We kept watching it to see our
so
cohorts.
So what you're saying without saying is you take credit for the writers on that question. They all laughed and said, how can we work that word into
an answer?
Because
it was so epic.
Yeah.
So they were onto something. I was onto something.
You were either on something, I think.
Probably.
So, Anchorman 2 comes out before we get to Bill next week, too. So I don't know if he's seen it or not, but I figure we probably should get on that. And I saw Saving Mr. Banks earlier this week, which is just tremendous. So we'll have Good Eat the Movies. As mentioned, Eric is off today. Eric's off most days, but today he's really off. So Jared is in with our Facebook question of the day to get us off and running.
Okay, so the Facebook question of the day, the Cardinals are a game out of the playoffs right now. They are behind Carolina and San Francisco. The question we ask you is, with them being a game back, how realistic are their playoff chances in 2013?
Are they really out of the just a game out, or are they just out of the playoffs? That's essentially what we're getting at.
Yes,
here.
Because of what they have ahead and the teams they have to chase. That's kind of what we're going for.
Sure. I mean, this is one of those deals where, oh, they're only a game out. Well, no, they're actually 10 miles out. They're not even close. So head over to facebook.com/sports360az. It's just yes or no today.
Simple yes or no.
Simple yes or no. We like those. For guys like me that can't handle heavy lifting with my brain, that's the way it goes. Let's get you caught up now. Some of things going on my mind in the world of sports. On a busy Friday, and it's brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains. Who would not want to go to the Honda Resort and Casino for a long weekend where there's just been 3 inches of fresh snow that's fallen at sunrise, stay at the Honda Resort and Casino, pull down the slots, win some big bucks, play some great games, eat some tremendous food, and then go to sunrise and then do it all over again? You can do that for New Year's Eve. Big special event, New Year's Eve, Honda Resort and Casino. The Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains. They've been a part of Sports 360 AZ since day number one. I'm going to switch things up a little bit today because this week we've been heavy on a bunch of different topics. Arizona State football is back on the practice field tonight. It's their first practice for the bowl game against Texas Tech. And there's going to be some news that comes out tonight. The health of DJ Foster from his injury against Stanford. The health of Marion Grice, if it's realistic that Grice can play at running back. I know there's a little bit of a letdown for ASU fans, but look, you go get these 12, 14 practices, however many it is, over the next couple of weeks. You go out to California. You should beat Texas Tech. It gives some of these younger players a chance to show themselves, get a little bit more experience, things along those lines. And yeah, DJ Foster, how serious of an injury is it for him? It didn't look good at all when it happened just 6 days ago. They've had a very good recruiting week, from my understanding. I wrote about some of it the other night. I'll write about it again over the weekend. The way that this thing works, I don't explain the show very much. If you've listened for a while, you kind of get it. We do a lot on the college football scene, and it's year-round, and it transitions from bowl game and all that, and we'll go to San Diego and do stories around them, but it'll go right into recruiting. Jared does the recruiting roundup every week with Jason Jewell. If you've not checked out the recruiting roundup, it's all about Arizona and high school football players. Jared even has an all-academic team, and today is the final day that you can submit somebody. It's pretty easy to say, my kid is the greatest football player ever. My kid deserves to go play for Mac Brown. Well, Mac Brown's going to be fired, so my kid should be playing in Alabama. Well, he ends up playing at Alabama A&T because he just doesn't have two left feet to save his life, okay? But he does have a 3.9 GPA or a 4.2 GPA or even a 3.0 GPA. And you think, you know what, that's pretty cool that my kid's got a really strong GPA and he's a pretty good football player. All you have to do is submit that nomination to Jared. Jared, how many people have come in on that?
We have 125 as I sit here right now.
125 people across the state, 125 football players.
And I raised the GPA a little bit this year. Last year I just did 3.0. This year it's 3.5 weighted or 3.0 unweighted. And I still have more nominations than we did last year. It's pretty great.
Well, I wouldn't have even made the fourth team all academic. 3.5, come on.
3.5. I made it a little bit more difficult. I did that with the spring sports last year and still got a lot. So
no,
we did
no,
it with
no.
the football players.
And we've narrowed it down. On that note, on the high school note, Paul Morrow left Blue Ridge, and we're not surprised by this. I'll get to some other stuff in a minute, but Paul Morrow, the legendary coach of Blue Ridge High, we're not surprised. We actually had written about, I don't know, in the middle of November that Paul was going to take the job at Poston Butte down in the Valley, and he did. We wish Paul well, and we know that Blue Ridge, a tremendous football program in the White Mountains, will be just fine. We'll be just fine moving forward. The recruiting stuff for ASU and the U of A, we're just not an ASU deal. It's pretty interesting because I've heard within the state that the battles this year have heated up a little bit more than even what we've seen in the past. But both of them are chasing UCLA. UCLA is just killing it nationally and killing it in the Pac-12 conference. UCLA lands Jaleel Wadud, the number one player on the West Coast, yesterday. And so they take off, and Brett Hundley is seriously considering the NFL right now. So there's a lot going on the college football scene, but it starts with ASU back on the field. The Heisman is tomorrow night. I cannot disclose who I voted for. I am a Heisman Trophy ballot guy. I do cast a ballot every year. I did mine last Sunday. Monday I will talk about it. All I'm going to say is there is a guy from this state who is on my ballot that I voted for, and that's it. I'm not going to tell you where or anything else. On the college football scene today in Texas, the story today in sports is going to be what's going on down in Texas. And it does impact Arizona State a little bit. We're waiting for the white smoke to come up for Mac Brown, the football coach at Texas, probably the most powerful coach spot in the nation outside of Alabama. Brown is meeting today with the president of Texas and Steve Patterson, the former Arizona State Sun Devil athletic director. The Texas football banquet is tonight. One of the big cigar boosters, Red McCombs, who used to own the San Antonio Spurs, said yesterday, I love this quote. This is why I love hearing about student athlete, because that is such a crock. Here's one of the biggest boosters around Texas said yesterday, Red McCombs, on whether they would be able to get Nick Saban, quote, "Oh, I don't think there's any question about getting him. Hell, all the money that's not tied up in the Vatican is up at UT," end quote. So essentially, we've got more money than the Catholic Church for our college football program. Let's just throw it out there, right? But again, it's all about the kids. Hey, come on. Father Flanagan, all of them. We get it. Nick Saban is 62. He's about to become a grandfather. Why would he leave Alabama to go to a team in the Big 12, which arguably is the fourth or fifth best football conference that's out there right now? Why would he do that? Well, has he just had enough in the Southeastern Conference and his wife and all that stuff, or his roots tied in deep? The bottom line, this story will be the page one above the fold, biggest story in sports nationally before today is complete or before the weekend is complete on if Mack Brown is pushed out, does Nick Saban go over there? Todd Graham, I don't see Todd Graham being even on the short list to go to Texas, but Steve Patterson does know him, and you never know on that front. So that story is of interest to me. Yesterday, after we finished the show out at the Phoenician for the Waste Management tee-off luncheon, Phil Mickelson met up with the media, and I asked Phil about new technology. It's always cool. Phil Mickelson just wows a room. People gather around, and you can hear a pin drop because it's Phil Mickelson. So I asked him, what does he expect to be like in 2014?
I've been able to have the center of gravity forward, just like my irons, and my driving has never been this good. And so even though it's taking place here in the off season, I think that starting next year, I'm going to see myself playing some of my best golf of my career because I'm driving it better than I ever have, and now I get to have more of my strengths, which is my irons and short game.
Which means I'm going to be even better. So, you know, I'll win the Scottish, I'll win the British, I'll be back here to win TPC Scottsdale for the fourth time. I'm just going to get after it. Well, you hear more from Phil, and you can also go over to our website, sports360az.com, with much more on Phil Mickelson and our conversation yesterday. Huge basketball game tomorrow that I'm very much looking forward to. 10 a.m., you have U of A, Arizona Wildcats ranked number one in the nation. National television tomorrow on CBS against Michigan. Last year, who played in the title game. Problem is, Michigan doesn't have Trey Burke or Tim Hardaway Jr. anymore, but still a tremendous matchup tomorrow. Here is Sean Miller, the head coach of the Cats, on this enormous matchup tomorrow morning.
They've played a competitive schedule, and because of that, I know they've probably improved each and every week of the non-conference season, but they were in the national championship game a year ago. They're a perennial NCAA tournament team, and you know, Michigan, I think, speaks for themselves. We know that it will be one of the stiffest tests that we'll have all season long.
Be a tremendous matchup tomorrow. And, of course, the NFL this weekend, the Cardinals play at the Titans. And I'll talk more about the Cardinals later with Jimmy Vaccaro. One game back of the Panthers, who host the Jets. And then you have San Francisco at Tampa Bay, because those are two games you need a scoreboard watch now. So we'll have more on that. On the other side, Jake Plummer's with us. We do the Fiesta Bowl roundtable show with Jake Plummer. The Fiesta Bowl and Jake Plummer, a winning combination. College football, college football, college football with a Pac-12 network analyst. The Sun Devil, will talk about ASU and how that game finished and much more with Jake Plummer. That's next. Good Friday to you. I'm Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com, White Mountain Radio, and you can follow me on Twitter at Brad Sussmat.
Miller feeds to Carlos Hyde, right side to the 20, to the 15, to the 10. Hyde still chugging his way. He goes backwards to the 10, forward to the 5, dives for the end zone.
It's time to talk college football.
Underneath, they got a screen play. It's inside the 10-yard with the football. Touchdown, LSU. It's Rashad Green again.
Taking you inside the huddle with ASU legend and Pac-12 Network studio analyst Jake Plummer. Presented exclusively by the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl.
And Lewis got it on the left. Lewis is going to score.
Here again, Brad Sussmat.
Jake Plummer joins us live for a couple of minutes every week. Jake Plummer in the Fiesta Bowl, winning combination, Pac-12 network analyst. Did I see a beard, or was that a dead squirrel growing around your face the other night on the set? What's going on there, Jake?
You had it right the first time. No dead squirrel, man. It's wintertime. I've never been one to have the same haircut as y'all, you well know. So, you know, as the season cycle, I also cycle with very few haircuts I get. I don't get a lot of haircuts.
That's fine. How's this? Okay, so this TV thing, before we get into stuff here, you've been Pac-12 network analyst for this, your first season coming to a close. Do you like it? Do you like doing the studio stuff?
You know, yeah, it's fun. I actually really enjoy it. You know, the guys I work with are really awesome. You know, Curtis Conway, Rick Neuheisel, they've made it a very easy transition. Not easy, but I mean, it's definitely easier when you got two guys that are, you know, aren't coming in with their egos and they don't mind helping you. And, you know, right before we go live, I'm asking Curtis, hey, Curtis, who's that starting guard, you know, starting tackle for so-and-so? And he'll quickly, he'll tell me. And, you know, it's just, it's fun. It's been a good experience. It's brought, you know, the game back a little bit, being able to watch it. And I try not to be too critical or too analytical as far as, you know, breaking it down, X's and O's too much. I think there's enough people out there that are trying to do that that, it's hard for a lot of them to weed through what's legit and what's not, but try to keep it simple. And if I see something, I'll make a point about it. And sometimes I'm right on, and sometimes I'm way off. It all depends. But it's been a lot of fun, and you know, we'll see what happens if I continue doing that and what facility. And you know, it's been just a good time to see the Pac-12 grow and be part of it.
Jake Plummer with Brad Sussmat. Could you see yourself in a booth as a game analyst, or do you think, you know, the studio thing, it's kind of fun watching 5-6 games, breaking it down, analyzing it, seeing it from a national view? Some guys like being a game. Some guys would rather be in a studio.
You know, I don't know. If I get a chance to do games, it would be a lot of fun. I think just, you know, for me as a fan of a game, going to the stadiums, getting to see what the stadiums are like outside and when the fans are coming in and from a different perspective, not being a player and, you know, on the bus getting driven down into the tunnel to get out to go in, you know, just to be around the colleges that play in the Pac-12 and to feel the energy prior to a game and the build up and the hum out there and the smells and stuff like that. That would be fun for me to do a games, but you know, I don't know. We'll see what happens. If that opportunity presents itself, it's definitely something I would at least try to see, you know, if I like it and see what it's like. But regardless, it's definitely, you know, doing all this has helped me just kind of, you know, reaffirm that the Pac-12 is the best conference in the country, and it's a lot of fun to watch all the teams play.
Well, I know this, that seeing you from when you started to where you are now, you could do this on a huge, huge scale. And I'm not saying the Pac-12 network is not a huge scale, but what I am saying is you've done really well in your first year. So I hope you stick with it because I think it's something.
Yeah, well, thank you, man.
So I think it's something you're really good at. Okay, so put your analyst hat on. Is this really that hard to analyze what happened to ASU or how good Stanford is? How do you take apart last Saturday night's Pac-12 title game?
You know, it's tough because I think, I mean, just without, you know, saying too much what ASU did wrong or what they could have done better, I mean, they just played such a powerful team in Stanford and a team that isn't complicated. They've rolled back the clocks to just basic football. They're not trying to get off 85 plays a game. They're trying to get off 60, very efficient, no errors, straightforward, smash-mouth football. They run the ball on you regardless of whether you think you can stop it or not or if you can stop the run or not. And they wait till you get out of position, and then they take a shot downfield with a one-on-one with one of their big receivers, and they're just very efficient. You know, they make a lot of big plays, which people don't understand because they're not a flashy offense, but it's because they're so well-timed and so well-executed. And so, you know, what Arizona State ran into was just a really, really good, well-rounded team. I mean, something to model try to become, not model it after because it's a different style at ASU, but just definitely try to become that level of a program because Stanford, to me, really, they should be in the national title game. I think they're the best team in the country. Mm. I think they would beat FSU and Auburn and LSU and Alabama. I mean, I think they're probably the best team in the country, yet we're not going to get to see them get a chance for that. So, you know, enjoy watching them. I like watching them, and I really enjoyed what ASU did, their effort. I really like to see that they never gave up. They kept fighting. You know, that's stuff you can build on. And you know, it's not going to happen in just 2 years with Coach Graham, but what he's building is definitely heading in the right direction. And, you know, now how good you got to be. You got to be just as efficient and just as execute just as well if you want to beat a team like Stanford.
Okay, let me follow on something else. We'll move off that game. Jake Plummer with Brad Sesmat. Every week, the Fiesta Bowl show with Jake Plummer, Tostitos Fiesta Bowl show and Jake Plummer. That is a winning combination. Stanford would beat any of those teams head-to-head, from your view. Is it because of the power that they have? Use the word power off the top, and I agree with you. I think just briefly on ASU, they've got to recruit more power guys than what they've got. And Stanford has just loaded up the box. But you really believe, Jake, that David Shaw could go head-to-head with Nick Saban with what he's got, not just X and O and coaching, but and that that roster could beat Alabama or could beat Florida State and slow down Jameis Winston? Because nobody has.
I believe that. You know, I think that when you talk power of teams and you want to, you know, you look at all the teams that are powerful teams that are playing for the national title or ranked in the top 10, they all have very strong front sevens. And if you look at Stanford's front seven on off or the front line on offense, they're dominant. I mean, they're big boys. You're going to see a lot of them playing at the next level. On defense, I mean, they have NFL D linemen all right now playing for them. And they're very, very efficient. They're very good at what they do, and it's not complicated. Coach Shaw has said it himself. This is not a complicated system. It's just an efficient system, and they play football. And, you know, in today's day and age, they've kind of kept it real football, the football a lot of us grew up watching. Some may say it's, you know, they're not progressive and going with the trends, but they're winning, and they're hard to beat. And like I said, I think they you know, who knows on any given day if they would beat those teams, but I feel like the matchup is there that they could play with them and very possibly beat every one of those teams. And, you know, that could be said for a few other teams also on the right day, but I think Stanford just this year, you know, they had the slip up against Utah and, you know, USC got them. And other than that, you know, they really, I think, are the best team in the country, if not one of the top two.
We'll go through some of these bowl games next week, but the Heisman is tomorrow, and I'm a Heisman voter, and I'm not supposed to talk about who I voted for, but it's a quarterback, and he plays for a team that's really high in the rankings. So that's all I'm going to say. And I'm not supposed to talk about who's second, and he plays at a very small school that's in the state of Illinois, and I'm not supposed to talk about who else is on the ballot, but there's a running back close to where I'm doing the show from today who's really good too. If that narrows it down for you. Am I about right on that, Jake? They're not going to pull my ballot because I didn't say any names, but am I about right for this year?
You know what? If I had a vote and if I could vote for the Heisman, I would vote number one. My vote would go to Jordan Lynch. You know, I feel that the kid, I believe he's a senior this year, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So, one, he's gone through school. He's stayed in school. He's embodies Northern Illinois. He's an amazing football player. That games I've watched, and I've been lucky enough to watch him because they play Wednesday and Thursday nights a lot, he makes plays for his team. The team needs him to make a play, he makes a play. They're down, he makes a big drive, and he makes three or four huge plays during that drive. To me, that's a Heisman candidate, and maybe even should be the Heisman winner. Put him on a different team in a bigger conference, bigger school, one of the money teams, and it'd be a runaway. He would be the Heisman candidate. If he was on Texas A&M this year, he'd be the Heisman. He would have won the Heisman back in week six. But, you know, it's not the way it happens. Jameis Winston, not taking anything away from that kid. He's a phenomenal football player who's made a lot of plays for FSU also. He's got a lot of years left in front of him, and I think, you know, to reward a guy like Jordan Lynch would be really cool to see. I hope it happens because he's very deserving of that, and I think it'd be neat to see him win. And you know, the other guys on the ballot, they have six of them. You know, the Boston College, Andre Williams, I really don't know why he's there, and Kadeem Carey is not. You know, Kadeem Carey comes from a 7-5 team. You know, people say that, but Kadeem Carey's the best running back in college football, hands down, I believe. Trey Mason for Auburn, who, again, in huge games, like I always say, in the big games, you step up. In the big games, he stepped up, 160 against Alabama, you know, big-time runner that's really helped Auburn, you know, get to the spot they're in. So interesting to see what shakes out. And obviously with Jameis Winston's, you know, legal deal going on, you know, that might hurt him a little bit. But I think that, you know, he's probably the hands-on favorite. But I hope that there's a shakeup. I'd really like to see Jordan Lynch get it because that kid really deserves it.
Could Jordan Lynch do what he's been doing at Florida State? We don't know. I mean, we don't know, but the caliber of football, is it that much greater? This year, it's been all runaway games for Jameis Winston, so it's not like he's faced the best talent. But when I watch him on the field, and I've seen Jordan Lynch too, but I weighed in the, boy, if you took him off this team, and Jordan Lynch has a very good defense too, Jake.
You
know, so I that was a tough one. It's a tough one.
Yeah, but I believe if you take Jordan Lynch off of that, I mean, he's really the heart and soul of that team. You watch him play, the way he plays, the way he runs, he's just a stud. He's a stud who deserves to definitely be in the hunt for it. You know, I think if Jameis Winston was not with FSU, you know, who knows what could happen. But you know, hey, all of it aside, those kids all you know, need to really enjoy the moment. They all deserve to be there for what they've done. Whoever wins it, you know, I didn't win it when I went, but it's still something that I can say, and not many people in the world can say that you were at the Heisman. And for Jordan Lynch, if he doesn't win it, what an accomplishment for that young man. What a great accomplishment, something that, you know, he probably dreamt of as a kid, and now he'll be sitting there in a suit. And when they announce it, who the winner is, I guarantee you there'll be a flutter in his chest that will be pretty powerful, that there is a chance it could be him. Because even when I was there was that little glimmer like, oh my God, it could be me, but I knew better. But still, when they're getting ready to call the name, you can't help but go, oh. So it's going to be fun to see how it shakes out. And like I said, all those guys should be proud of what they've accomplished.
Last question. What do you remember about your Heisman night?
Man, it was such a blur, you know. I mean, I was still, I'll be honest with you, I was kind of more like just wanting to get to the Rose Bowl. I mean, the Heisman was awesome, but I was like, man, we're playing for a national title. Going was amazing. I mean, my family came, and the moment of it was, you know, there was just such a surreal for me. I mean, a young kid from Boise, Idaho, that came to ASU on the promise of a coach, you know, Coach Snyder, that we had a chance with me to win a national title. And sure enough, we were getting ready to play for one, and I was a Heisman candidate. I mean, what a, you know, a storybook way to go about a career at ASU. And, you know, it was a lot of fun. Meeting Doug Flutie was awesome, and a lot of the other players. Was really cool just to be in that, you know, real amazing, you know, the Heisman, and all the history behind it and the players, and to be even considered was more an honor for my team than me. I was the representative for the ASU Sun Devils because we were such a well-rounded team. I was the one that was pointed at and got most of the publicity, but man, it was just more a symbol of what team we had. And you know, we had a great time. My brothers and dad played handball in the handball courts till like 2:30 in the morning. And rumor had it I was there, but I wasn't. I was in my room getting my rest because, you know, I was focused on the Rose Bowl. I wanted to go win a national title. And, you know, the Heisman was just a little more icing on the cake of that great season.
Let you go off that. I'll visit with you next week. I appreciate your time as always. Thanks.
Hey, thank you, Brad. Take it easy.
You got it, man. Jake Plummer. Jake Plummer in the Fiesta Bowl winning combination. Jake Plummer in the Fiesta Bowl every week here on the show. On the other side, we go to Vegas. Jimmy Vaccaro, the latest on his view of the NFL games this weekend. SouthPointSports.com, South Point in Casino in Vegas. Jimmy Vaccaro, he joins me next. Also, the BCS title game. What's the spread on that? And then a goodie at the movies as well. I'm Brad Sussmat. Thanks again to Jake Plummer joining us. It's always good to hear from Jake, and in particular, his strong comments on the Heisman Trophy. He says Jordan Lynch would get his ballot and that Stanford would beat both Florida State and Auburn. Really good stuff there. We move from Jake Plummer on the college football scene, all things around Vegas now. Jimmy Vaccaro is with us as always. Jimmy Vaccaro, you can follow Jimmy on Twitter. Also, SouthPointSports.com, South Point Casino in Vegas. He's got a lot going on. BCS title game right off the top, Jimmy. What's the early money coming in on Florida State Auburn? Where's it at?
Well, Brad, right now the trickle of money is more on the dog as opposed to the favorite. We opened the game 8.5, Florida State being the favorite, and we're down to 8. Obviously, a long way to go. Total, right where it should be, right around just between 65 and 66.5, depending where you shop around town. But a lot of interest. Remember, this game, we had hypothetical games a long time ago, and this one was on the truck because nobody thought Auburn would get there. But lo and behold, they did after a miraculous last weekend watching college and the pro football. So, and it's your question. The bowl games have been up. A lot of activity so far and a lot of different teams. But that game in particular, when I say trickle, I simply mean that there's more money coming in on Auburn as opposed close of Florida State, but so far the betting pace has been pretty good.
I'm curious, Jimmy, on all the New Year's Day games and the BCS title game, where are you seeing the most interest?
The most interest right now, Brad, is simply the people who are in town coming from those particular regions of the country. They want to bet their team if they're not going to be around. But the game that's drawn a lot of attention so far is the Stanford-Michigan State game. I thought there'd be a little more support for Michigan State early on, and just the opposite. We opened that game 3, and we're up to 4.5. I suppose that everybody's still figuring that the Pac-12 was much better than the Big Ten, and a lot of early money on Stanford. Will it hold up that way? Yeah, I don't think the line's going to come down on that one. There's a couple other games that, you know, money's been popping around, but in that particular game, the most action I've seen at our book and the books so far in the city has been on Stanford over Michigan State.
Jimmy Vaccaro with us every week with Brad Sussman at South Point Casino, a resort and casino in Vegas. That is the place to be. SouthPointSports.com. You can check him out there. Around the NFL, I hope Aaron Rodgers plays left-handed if he can play. I mean, it's Dallas. What's the view in Vegas on Green Bay, Dallas? What are you hearing? What are you seeing?
Well, first of all, I mean, miraculous win last week against the Falcons of the 22-21 final to keep their hopes alive. And I give the Packer contingency a lot of credit there. They stand up and fight, but they simply can't go anywhere, Brad, even if they would back into the playoffs. The guys behind Rodgers are so far removed from, in a sense, helping that team win 4 consecutive games if they get to the playoffs is absolutely off the chart. Dallas, who knows what to think about him anymore? Good week, bad week. Sometimes they play defense, sometimes they don't. Romo's having a pretty good year, but posted the game at 7.5-point favor. Dallas, don't believe that Aaron Rodgers will play. I think the number is where it should be. But even at the 7.5, the game's been like a standstill. There's been no money on either side so far.
I'm sure there's very little interest, but I have to ask you because it's the Cardinals in Tennessee. The Cardinals are saying that they're in it. Yeah, they are in it mathematically. Cardinals at Tennessee Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, they're in it, and I think you're going to get there. You know,
really?
First of all, I didn't think they'd be in this spot at this late time of the season. I tip my hat. Carson Palmer's playing a little more. I use the word under control, not that I'm his quarterback coach, and maybe don't understand what under control actually means, but they're playing better. It's surely, obviously, Fitzgerald's having a what I would consider not a breakout year, but give the kid credit. He's played a few years when the balls weren't thrown to him on a rate that they should have, but they're in there. Not the best of spots in the world, but you are a 2.5-3-point favorite, and that tells us that we know who the better team is. Tennessee, obviously, they're not going anywhere. They actually folded the tent last week, but they looked like would be a considerable halftime lead. Gave that up to Denver real quick, and you saw what happened in the second half. I am not on the Arizona bandwagon to say you guys will be in New York February the 2nd or the 6th, whatever that game is, but I would not be surprised if you got in the playoffs, and I really wouldn't be surprised if you won your first-round game, kid. So I'm giving you guys a tip of the hat, as are the line makers here in Nevada. A little more strength on the power rating to Arizona that has shown in the last few years, where the end of the season, you guys are falling off the map, but you know what? You're still in the hunt.
I'll let you go off that, Jimmy. As always, appreciate the time. We'll see you next week. Thanks.
All right.
Jimmy Vaccaro with us there. Jimmy Vaccaro, SouthPointSports.com, South Point Resort and Casino. Appreciate his time for a couple of minutes, as always. Some other things that I've been checking out today and for the weekend. You know, the NFL this weekend, I've got to MC an event on Sunday afternoon that involves being around a bunch of NFL fans. And I'll talk about it a little further. I was approached on this, I don't know, a couple months back. And it at the time, it was a little random, I thought. But there's a lot of research that's going on into the NFL and to the Arizona sports scene and where the NFL really falls. Because this is not an Arizona Cardinals state. I'm not bashing the Cardinals. But let's be honest. If the Bears are playing, more of you are more interested in the Bears, I think, than you are the Cardinals. If the Cardinals are good, it's something kind of sort of maybe fun to do. If the Cardinals and Diamondbacks are on the same plane, is there more interest in the Cardinals or there is the Diamondbacks? I don't know. But I'm doing a research thing on Sunday, and I can't say anything more than that. And it's a pretty big deal. I'm going to talk about it next week, but it involves all the Valley and state sports teams on the college and pro level. U of A basketball, the Phoenix Suns, the Phoenix Coyotes, everything that I cover here on this daily show or on our website, sports360az.com. On the other side, Bill Goodykunz, Goody at the Movies. Before we get to that, though, I got to talk about Santan Ford. I have to talk about Santan Ford because it's all about the people at Santan Ford. Their Christmas party Sunday night. I'm very much looking forward to seeing all the good people at Santan Ford. How about you? You're not going to the Christmas party. No offense. No offense. But are you looking here on the 13th of December for that car or that truck for a week from now or 2 weeks from now when you head off to California or up to the mountains or off to Colorado or to Texas? You're in that vehicle. You're in that car. You're in that truck. That makes a lot of sense for you. And right now, you're not in that vehicle. Right now, you know you need to get into a new vehicle, maybe a used vehicle, but Santan Ford is the place for you to go check that out. Santan Ford, General Manager Tim Hovick and company, they do it upright. You can go to their website, santanford.com. When I say they do it upright, they're about you. They're big sports people there. They're invested into the Diamondbacks and into the Cardinals and into Arizona State and into college sports and into high school sports. When I say invested, they put their people right in the middle of those spaces. So why don't you check them out for that next car, that next truck? That's at Santan Ford, Santan Ford, where it's all about you. Goody at the Movies on the other side. The Hobbit, which Jared and I just trashed off the top. Seriously, if you tell guys, if you're going to miss some sports over the weekend to go see The Hobbit, that might be a man card deduction. It might be. Goody at the Movies is next. USA Today Chief Film Critic, I'm Brad Sismat. Now, because you know most everything going on in the world of sports, it is time for Goody at the Movies. Bill Goodykunz, Chief Film Critic and at USA Today, AZ Central. It is always good to hear Bill's voice. We have American Hustle that is coming out. I saw Saving Mr. Banks earlier this week. It's the best movie I've seen this year. I'm not going to go see The Hobbit. I have no desire to see The Hobbit, but I'm sure The Hobbit will crush it. Where do you want to start this week, Bill?
Well, not with The Hobbit, because I didn't go either. I went... to the last one, here's like those like every now and then I try to not have a lot of regrets in my life, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't regret on its face seeing The Hobbit. I mean, I didn't like it that much, but it wasn't that bad, you know. But I had always promised my oldest daughter that if Bruce Springsteen ever came to town, I would take her to see him. You know, he plays for 4 hours. You know, you might not like his music, but I guarantee you, you'll like the show. And she kind of got around to liking his music. So here comes Bruce Springsteen. He's going to play. What happens at the same time is they're screening the only critic screening for The Hobbit. And this was before people knew what, you know, that it was pretty bad. So I felt like I had to see it to see if it was going to make it on my top 10 list and all that stuff. And a guy who works for Harkins, you know, the theater,
sure,
place, you know, actually told me, he said, go see Springsteen instead. He said, and he said, take your daughter. You're going to regret it if you don't. But I didn't. I felt like I had to like do my work, and of course now every time Jungle Land or something comes on the radio, my daughter is like, you know, we could have been there. So I'm probably always going to have a bad taste in my mouth for the Hobbit movies. But that American Hustle is great. I mean, it's, you know, since I've talked to you, I've seen three movies that I ended up putting in my top 10 list: American Hustle, The Wolf of Wall Street, and a movie called Her, which actually doesn't come out in Phoenix until I think January 9th, but it's being released early. And but boy, American Hustle is next week, and that a lot of people are saying this funny thing about it, that like it's the best Martin Scorsese movie that Martin Scorsese didn't direct. But it's got all those hallmarks. You know what I mean? It's the music, the look, the action. I mean, it's kind of long. I think it's about 2 hours and 20 minutes, 2 hours and 30 minutes. But the acting is fantastic. A big, fat, bald Christian Bale, you know, Amy Adams with like a bad perm, and evidently did not own a bra in the 1970s, this particular character. You know, nice. Bradley Cooper with an even worse perm and a cocaine habit. But it's just like endlessly entertaining. What it's going to be, I'll tell you, is one of those movies that we talk about sometime where 5 years from now, when you're laying in bed, you know, just switching through the channels, when that comes on, you're going to be hooked for the end of it.
I got you. I got you. I'm curious, Bill Gutekunst with us, your top 10, because I know you've teased it on Twitter and all that stuff. What's your top 10 for this year?
My top 10 is number, I mean, sometimes it's these things you do them for so long and you play with them so long that I've just assumed that everybody was as sick of them as I am.
No, heck no. It's you, Bill. But, give yourself some credit. You carry the hammer.
I'll go in reverse order. That's a way to keep listeners hooked.
Yeah.
But there are not a lot of surprises. But it was that kind of year. There was stuff I really liked that I couldn't put on here. But anyway, I'm just going to skip to the top. My number one movie is
No. Do the reverse order. That's more fun.
Well, number 10 is the Dallas Buyers Club.
Keep going. Don't need to explain it.
I have to look it up. I can't remember my top 10.
Oh, no, then just go right to number one then. Because I know you have all these movies. It's good to get the movies. I'm very the audience here is flexible.
They're flexible.
Go to number one or go to number five. I don't know. You've seen what, 200 movies this year, 300 movies probably? It's like books.
I think that's probably right.
Yeah.
Number one for me is 12 Years a Slave. And I felt like that was one that it's not just a great movie, it's an important one.
12 Years of Slave.
Yeah. And does that make sense?
Sure, for you it does. There's no question. I get it. What's number two?
Number two is this movie, Her.
Which doesn't come out till January, so I can't tell you if you're wrong or right on that.
No, you can't. But I will. Let me at least tell you a little bit about that one. Joaquin Phoenix plays a guy in the near future who falls in love with his operating system on his computer, and it's played by Scarlett Johansson, who I think might get a nomination. We never see her; it's just her voice.
Oh,
but she's. Hey, man, she can do a lot with her voice. You'll find out.
I'm sure she can.
a lot of interesting things. Number three is a documentary called Stories We Tell. I think we talked about it a little when it came out. It's like you think it's going to be one thing, and it turns out to be another. A woman, her mom, she's trying to find out if her mom is her real mom, and it started out as a family joke, and she finds out some stuff. Number four is Gravity.
Love Gravity. I remember you loved that.
I'm not buying into the backlash against Gravity. I'm sorry. I'm just not.
Yeah.
I just think it was great. Number five is American Hustle. And that's, we talked about it, you know, you've seen a movie when you've seen that.
All right.
Number six is Enough Said. It's James Gandolfini and his last movie and Julia Louis-Dreyfus. And it's one of the things, this doesn't make it a great movie, but it's just kind of cool to see the guy that you know is Tony Soprano be like this sort of big, sweet fellow. And it's also kind of sad.
No, it's sentimental, too. I get that.
Yeah, and boy, you talk about that's your date movie to end all date movies. It's snarky enough that the guys will like it. It's romantic enough that women will like it. Number seven is The Act of Killing, which I've never seen a movie like this before. It's a documentary where this guy goes to Indonesia, and where they have these horrible war crimes, and he has the people who killed people reenact the murders, but as their favorite Hollywood movies.
Mm.
It's bizarre, but it's really good. Number eight is The Wolf of Wall Street. That's the real Scorsese picture, which is not as good as the fake Scorsese picture, but it's still.
And that
good.
Comes out on Christmas.
Yeah, and that's I'll tell you this: Leonardo DiCaprio is a lock for an Oscar nomination. I don't know if he'll win, but this is the kind of role that, man, when he read that script, he must have just like died and went to heaven. He's in practically every scene, and he gets to do everything. Number nine is Upstream Color. It's like the weirdest movie of the year. I don't even know how to describe it. I think in my review I said it involves a kidnapped woman, stolen money, worms, and a pig farm. And the thing is, it doesn't necessarily make that much sense the first time, but you got to go with it. And number 10 is Dallas Buyers Club. And again, we've talked before on here about Matthew McConaughey and his kind of good comeback his last year or two. He's really been hot. Maybe he will be the new coach at the University of Texas.
Yeah.
He's an alum.
He is an alum. No, he is.
You always see him on the sidelines at bowl games and stuff.
Okay, so did you see Saving Mr. Banks?
I saw Saving Mr. Banks.
Did you like it?
I liked it.
I loved it. I don't know if I had my wife with me and the entire theater was bawling at the end. Just bawling at the end. And, you know, the Mary Poppins thing, the backstory of Mary Poppins, and I'm watching Tom Hanks like, okay, this is pretty cool seeing Tom Hanks in this role.
Tom Hanks is good. He, you know, his and again, you know, we give too much away, but obviously it's not a spoiler to say that somehow Mary Poppins got made because everybody's seen it.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, it's about his struggle to get the thing made. But it's like at the end of Captain Phillips, what Tom Hanks does at the end of Saving Mr. Banks is just first rate work. Like it reminds you of why everybody loves Tom Hanks. And I don't think it gives too much away to say that he gives a talk where he is trying to convince her to let him make this movie, and it has to do with storytelling and what that means to people and all that. And, you know, at the end of that, it's like, I'll do what you want, whatever you want.
So why didn't it make your top 10?
I thought the other day, that's what I'm saying. That didn't make my top 10. Fruitvale Station didn't make my top 10. Captain Phillips didn't make my top 10.
And you love Fruitvale Station. I remember you loved Fruitvale Station.
I loved it. But yeah. This has been, and honestly, I feel like I say this every year, but although I'll tell you this, when I got to the first half of the year, I do kind of like a top 10 of the first half. I thought, yeah, it's going to be tricky filling this thing out at the end of the year. But now it's that classic thing where there's just too much. There are too many good movies. I think I'm going to have to do at least kind of like a separate five of like, you know, these didn't make it, but you really ought to see them.
Sure. No, it's like a Heisman vote or something.
Yeah. You vote for the Heisman?
I did.
You can't tell us, right?
Can't tell us. You know what I'll tell you?
Isn't that new?
There's a quarterback that is a little bit east of Alabama who's really good. There's in the state of Illinois, there's a quarterback I saw who's plays really well, and there's a running back that's a little south of my studio who's pretty strong. Okay, and now and here's the thing. The Heisman wonders why they don't get enough attention. I should be writing why and talking why I voted the way I did the day before, but they don't want that out there.
You should be inviting listeners to try to convince you otherwise.
Yeah.
People love that stuff.
They love it. And the Heisman people are living in, I don't know, 1920, but we have to this whole document that you can't talk about or release. And so I don't know.
You get to vote, man. You're an important guy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you, as you are. Before I let you go, okay.
I don't get to vote.
It's Friday the 13th. That doesn't mean anything bad to me, but Anchorman 2 comes out on the 18th. So we're not going to visit before it comes out.
Right.
So have you seen it?
I have seen it.
And?
I have talked to Steve Carell about it.
And?
It's a lot like the first one. It's one of those things, and talk about like getting off on a bad foot on an interview. I told Carell, I saw it one day, talked to Carell the next day, and I said, you know, I said, it's one of those movies, and I meant this in the best possible way, but I said, you know, it's one of those movies, it's more funny than good. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
it's you can't necessarily say it's a great movie, but it's hilarious. And he's like, well, and I spent like the next 5 minutes of a 10-minute interview backtracking and saying, look, I did like the movie, you know, but it's one of those things where I want to shoot it down for a million things. Is there another battle scene like there was in the first one? Yes. Do I want to say, well, of course there is. That's not very imaginative. But do they do something imaginative with that battle scene? They do. So it's like everything I want to knock it down for, I can also defend it for. And that's a pretty good sign. If you like the first one, you're going to like it. And I swear, I think everybody who's been in a movie in the last 20 years has a cameo in there somewhere.
No, that's funny.
And that's a good sign for like the reputation of those movies. You know what I mean? Like,
sure, people there'll be another be one.
I mean, surprising people. Marion Cotillard, who won the French actress who won an Oscar for playing Edith Piaf. She's in it. how does she end up in Anchorman?
No, I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time, and I'll talk to you next week.
I'll talk to you.
There's Bill Goodykins, Goody at the Movies. Every week, it's always good to catch up with Bill Goodykins, chief film critic for Gannett, USA Today, the National View of the Movies. Now you know what to do this weekend. I'm Brad Sussmat. Plenty of content on sports360az.com. Plenty of it. Today is our final day for nominees for our all-academic team of high school football players. Your son, your daughter, your grandson, you know, get them all to vote. Get them all to vote. They know of some player this last year that has a great GPA and a good football player. Jared Cohen will put that out for you. We're on Twitter at Brad Sussmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. And of course, White Mountain Radio, the great people at White Mountain Radio. Thanks for being with us on a Friday.